Good morning, and thank you for coming in without Dan here and his fountain of living waters that he gets from the Lord. I appreciate you coming to fellowship here. And it's been a struggle this week to figure out, you know, what should be spoken about, and you know, I want to, of course, bring the word and feed the sheep, and you know, but I found that I have a lot of bits and pieces, but not the giant, you know, evenly roadmapped out message. So I kind of backed off and went blank last night, and which I thought was a good thing. Like, all the scriptures that were rattling around my head kind of went away, and I was thinking, like, all right, this is good, because he's going to give me in that hour of need his words, you know, like, when you're delivered up and, you know, don't take any thought to what you're going to say before the people, you know, before the rulers of the world, because I'm going to give you my words. But then I kind of thought, like, you know, I'm not quite being brought up before a trial here either. So, you know, it was, you know, an interesting, it's us mixed with a holy God. And when there's no distractions, when you're kind of like focused on him, you realize how human you are, and how much you need the Lord, how much he's the one that's carrying us. And the victory is absolutely in Jesus. That was what kind of brought me out of a hole that almost of depression and not being worthy enough, which I'm not, you know, but he loves us. I mean, the simple things that I really want to convey always is the love that God has for us, and he's our victory, you know. And some other things came, and I will share them with you. The music is here. I don't know how to blend the music with the preaching, but we'll see what happens. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1. Verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." It's good to know. It continues, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." So there's an order to our downfall, our fall that we had from back in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was led away and tempted, and went back to Adam, and Adam didn't stand up either, kind of listened to his wife, and together they went down and brought this sin to all of mankind. But the sin, it's not quicksand, it's not, you don't fall into a pit and die immediately. You know, the Lord says, the scripture says, because judgment's not executed against sin quickly, men set in their hearts to do, fully set themselves to do evil. So we have time to repent with God in our lives so that we don't walk further and further into sin. And it's important to understand that there is time to come out of the path that we're following. We kind of know we're doing the wrong thing. And we have many chances. There's another scripture that also says that the Lord gives a way out. He absolutely gives a way out. But, you know, he's going to let us take it. You know, he's not going to always rescue us 100%, although he's there with us 100% of the time. So we know that sin comes when we lead ourselves away, and if we keep going, that the end of it is death. But there's hope, and I'm definitely all about the hope that we have in God. And I just want to look at another scripture that is in Corinthians, in chapter 15. And I'll give you the verse.
1 or 2.
1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians. Verse 55. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, hallelujah, we have victory in Jesus. That, I'm very simple with what I, when I interact with other people in the Lord, It's always to just bring a reliance on Jesus. To always just put your trust, to just exhort people to put their trust in him. Jesus can do it. God can do it. God loves us. You know, because the most famous scripture of all, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, there's a lifetime of faith there that you could grow in just believing that Jesus was sent as the sacrifice for our sins. And there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, if anyone is down at times and being attacked or just being human and having human nature kind of tossing you to and fro, just remembering that the Lord is going to, that he died for you. I mean, he absolutely loved you and died for you. When I was young, I was not always, you know, I was always kind of sad and lost for a long, long time. It manifested itself as I was a teenager and then a young man, because I was no longer under the roof, and it's fine. You know, it's how things go. But I was no longer under the roof of my parents, and I was out and about, and everything in the world wasn't about me. But whenever I was in a crowded room or at a function, I always felt kind of alone and nothing really satisfied me. I went down the same road that a lot of people give testimony of, you know, that they had went for money, but money didn't satisfy them, and they went for relationships, and relationships didn't satisfy them, and they tried drugs and, you know, thought, all right, this is it. You know, this is really what's going to do the trick, you know. But that didn't do it either, and it obviously made things worse, but it did manifest. All those things were just symptoms of the problem. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you're using drugs or you're drinking yourself to death and that's the problem. That's not the problem. The sin isn't the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. And that problem was the separation that I had from God. I didn't come to peace and, it's tough to word, I didn't feel lost anymore until a moment that I had in a rehab where I got on my knees and spoke to a God I did not yet know, and I said to him, I am going to God and no man can help me. And I said, if you exist, you have to help me. You got to save me. And right then and there on my knees, I had a seed instilled for me from God, which I didn't know anything about at the time. But not knowing the Lord and being there on my knees, all of a sudden, I heard inside me, comforting, everything's going to be okay. Go and find out who Jesus is. That's what I was given 25 years ago. That was, it was real. Obviously, it was, because I am still going along with God to this day. Praise God. So I left that place and I was in a Catholic rehab. It was St. Charles in Port Jefferson or something like that. Little rehab there. I got some rosary beads and some prayer cards and I went to work finding out who Jesus was. And eventually, I got a hold of a Bible, and I started reading the Word of God. And I read that God didn't like vain, repetitious prayers. So I took my prayer cards and my rosaries and all those wonderful plastic laminated things that will never go away until the end. And I threw them in the garbage. And I refused to feel bad about taking something religious and throwing it in the garbage. Because you feel it, like, oh, maybe this is something. But I said, no. When I was on my knees, there was nothing there. It was God. There was no props or anything. So I threw those cards out. And then I read about the graven images. You know, God didn't want any graven images. So there was the Sacred Heart on the wall and whatever other stuff I had. Back to the garbage can, stepped on the lid, stuff went in the garbage. Went on with the Lord, and finding out who Jesus was what strengthened me. And he has continued to, and the same reason why we're here, we know there's something there. We know that faith, there was something I wish I could have conveyed. I've had moments of the revelation of there's something about the faith that God put in every man. It sparks the life. Kind of like when John the Baptist was in his mother's womb and Jesus was nearby in Mary's womb and he was like, oh! And it manifests like that. When someone's speaking about God, when someone's speaking words, you know, real words from the Spirit, inside of us, we're like, yes! Go, go! This is so refreshing. You know, it's the life that you know, the word of life that's there, and it's just like, that faith inside us meets that. And we're just so blessed and pleased with someone else that believes too, you know? But I can't really convey that whole sentiment that was brought, or that thing, but you get the kind of gist. There is something that like precious faith that's in us that is not called precious in vain. It really is. It's a gift. It's a gift. Like God's grace is a gift. I will share with you one story. And it's an important story, and I'll try to convey it, but I had a coworker some 15 years ago who was not a believer in God, or was very skeptical, or not unlike what Dan shared about Gideon last week. If there is a God, you know, why am I living in an apartment while my wife has got the house, and, you know, why is all this stuff befalling us, you know, why am I still smoking and drinking and in debt and everything, you know. These are just interactions I had with him over time. But for some reason, one day, he felt like telling me about his past and when he first met his wife, which he was separated from or divorced. I'm not 100% sure where it was at that time. But he started to say, you know, when I first met my wife, we dated and, you know, we had our good times together, and before we were married, she became pregnant. And they weren't expecting a child, and they had this child, and they had the child, thank God. And something very interesting happened after they had their first child out of wedlock. They said, we love this child. We love this child. We love this child so much that we're going to get married, we're going to have another child because we have love to give. We love giving love to these children. And I sat there kind of dumbstruck, just staring at him. And he said, what? What's wrong? I said, I do remember his name. He was a small fellow, carried himself incredibly well. George Flores. George Flores carried himself like a gentleman. George, thank you. He goes, what are you thanking me for? I said, now I know why God created us. God is love, and he created us because he has love to give. And I'm so grateful because, man, even to another level, all of that, like, anxiety and separation and loneliness and depression was pushed away even further at just the love that the Father has for us. I think a lot of our struggles in this world come because we don't know who we are. And we don't, when a child is running around, and I don't have children, but when a child is running around, carrying on and really going astray, they're comforted by their parents, either with a spank, or with a hug, or with attention, or the love that the parent has. We're the same, doesn't matter what age we are. doesn't matter what age we are. You know, God said that unless you come to me as a child, as one of these little ones, you know, you're not coming to me at all unless you do that, because God requires that broken and contrite heart to come to him. And a child's heart, if he's not gone completely astray, is that broken and contrite heart. It doesn't have all the cunning and excuses and reasonings that the adult has learned over time to kind of make themselves immune of correction, and to see love coming and to be afraid of it and run away. Like Adam and Eve were afraid of the garden after they had the knowledge of good and evil. They hid themselves from God. As we become adults, you know, we can hide ourselves, you know, but God said, come as one of these little ones. So that man, George, really did something wonderful. He conveyed that God is the Father, and that God is love, and that he created us to love us. So I don't want to try to go any further. I don't think I could without stumbling and bumbling, because I don't think I have any more that wouldn't be me. So I do want to thank God and praise God with some songs, if you will.
Play a little music.
Yeah, play a little music. I think it is important to praise and to thank God. Giving God inhabits the praises of his people, and just giving thanks and praise is just so important. It's an understanding that he saved us. He's the Father. We are the son of a king. We are the sons of God, the daughters of God. We are joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
And I exhort you all, including myself, to carry ourselves as though we are, because we are royalty to God. We deserve the best that he would have for us, his favor and his mercy. Don't short yourselves. What we have in this life will pass away. The only thing that will not pass away is what is in Christ Jesus, what is in Jesus, the Word of God. That is what will never pass away. Use the resources, and I'm guilty of this. The resources I have are locked away, I don't want to spend that money. What if I need it down the road because it's going to be an emergency? And I don't want to eat that food because that food is like $20 a pound. But that absolutely awful tear into cellophane snack over there is three for a dollar. And I can eat three of those and I'm going to be filled. I get it. But carry ourselves as the children of God, as joint heirs in Christ. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.